Steve, a lot of big stars you've shot for, you know?
They're all just regular people.
Just regular people. But I want to talk about a couple of these stars that you've shot for and the stories behind them. I know you mentioned Sandra Oh, right?
Sure.
What was that
like? She was great. Sandra Oh, first of all, I always try to have common ground with every single person that I shoot. Sandra Oh, she's Canadian. Check.
Check.
Not only that, she's from Ontario. Check.
Check.
Not only that, she's from Napanee, Ontario, damn, which is a place when I was camping when I was a kid, and I knew she was from Napanee, and I'm like, Napanee, I went camp, and she was like, how do you, I look like me,
yeah,
she's like,
yeah,
how,
yeah,
do you know, yeah, Napanee, and I'm like, no, and then I show her this scar on my foot that happened when I was camping when I was, wow, 3 years old in Napanee, where I caught my first fish, like, I had all these stories for her, and she was like, oh my, and then she's like, you're the photographer? I'm like, yeah, it's me, so I shot one photo. It was the beginning of digital. So it was 2004-ish, and digital photography had just started.
Mm-hmm.
So you could shoot a picture, and it wasn't a Polaroid. You could shoot a picture and show someone the back of the camera. So I showed her this photograph where I shot her at the Sheraton Center. I actually shot her at the Hilton Hotel. And there was a pool, and it said no diving.
Okay.
And the whole vibe as an actor, if you dive or if you're a musician, it's like you're bombing.
Yeah,
so it's no diving, right? So she had some great hits with her movies. So I sat her in front of this sign on the pool deck that
never
said
took
no
a dive.
Diving.
Yeah, that's
and,
fire.
And I showed her and she's like, you're a clever cat. And she was like, okay, I'm into this. We're doing this. And then I shot another. And then her people, handlers came and said, okay, Sandra, that's it. We're done. Time. She's like, no. We're doing this right now. So I ended up having her, which I was supposed to have her for at first 3 minutes. Then it got pushed to 5 minutes. And then I had her for 25 minutes, meaning she pushed back the entire rest of her day.
Wow.
She canceled things that she was supposed to because she was having so much fun on that photo shoot. And again, I shot it initially from McLean's magazine, but because I'm repped by Getty relicenses my images. Mm-hmm. Elle ended up printing it, and like, it's just, she was in Toronto for the movie release of Sideways. Mm-hmm. Which before that she had done Last Night, before that she'd done Grey's Anatomy, so she was just now crossing over from TV to movies. And Sandra Oh was all the rage.
Damn.
So
wow.
The right time, man.
Yeah.
Does she still answer your phone calls? Or
Listen, I rarely am I getting people's contact information
when
I'm like the photographer. Like, that's not, I'm not like, Napanee, hey, give me your number. But now.
You just hear his voice in the background of Queen Street.
But now it's like social media. Yeah. Now it's social media. So now you can actually reach out. And
true.
Now, and the thing that's great is like, time has passed. So you reach out and you talk about these stories. Hey, remember when, which is great.
That's amazing, man. And I know, we know about Tom York, Pharrell, but
sure.
Michael Sheen. I'm interested in that
Sheen.
Story and how,
and thank
how that
you.
Experience was.
I got to thank you because people ask me, literally, I get the same, talked about Pharrell, talk about, like, I want to talk about photos that people don't know about.
Yes.
Michael Sheen is
man.
One of those shoots where Michael Sheen was playing Hamlet, and not Hamlet in a movie, but Hamlet in a stage play, like a live action. And when was the last time you saw an actor at that caliber doing a play? Now, the play is in the UK. Now, why am I getting a call from the UK to photograph
wow.
Michael Sheen?
Wow.
They told me that they were on a worldwide search for a photographer to shoot who was able to basically capture the actual essence of a person, and somehow my name and my photographs went into the mix. And obviously this play is happening in the UK, but Michael Sheen at that time was dating Rachel McAdams. So Rachel McAdams is Canadian, and she was here quite often, and she was filming here. So Michael Sheen was coming to Toronto now often, and now I was already in that image pool of photographers that they were looking for. But now that they found out that I was in Toronto, that was like, okay, so I got it. So I get to shoot Michael Sheen. I'm shooting Michael Sheen as a distressed Hamlet, as if Hamlet fast forwarded 500 years and was just dropped now into my studio. That was the brief. So
okay.
Now Hamlet's there,
yeah.
And he has like some ripped shirt and whatever, and he's trying to like make sense of a modern world. Like that's basically the premise of this Hamlet. So, I have to wipe my face again.
Yeah.
Goddamn sweating.
Yeah, no worries.
This is a great ass story, man.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking.
Because I shine. I'm a black guy.
What's the? Was it Wall Street? Is it Wall Street?
Wolf of Wall Street?
No. The original. With Martin Sheen.
Oh, you're talking about Wall Street.
Michael Sheen, yeah.
Wall Street.
Michael
called,
Sheen,
right?
It was in, he's been in like, I mean, I have to look at his IB, like he's been in like Woody Allen movies.
Yeah.
He's been in like so many, like his movie
his filmography is ridiculous.
And I know Colin Firth more because he's like an Oscar winner.
Right.
But Michael Sheen, like he was like Sarah Jessica Parker's like boyfriend in like a whole bunch of things. Like he's like got whole bunch of accolades. So back to Michael Sheen. So I'm now on set and it's the day of. And really, he didn't want to be styled. He didn't want to have any outfit or anything resembling Shakespeare. He literally wanted it to be modern day. So my agent at the time ran to H&M and like bought just some white V-neck t-shirts and a black, and like we distressed, like aged them and make them look like he time traveled in these shirts. And then, okay, it's now time. Now I shot him natural light, which on a commercial shoot where you're getting, the budgets are just huge, and not using lighting and using existing light is how I shot him in order to get the look that I needed. And I know it definitely worked, but I started to direct him, and I would say something like this, like, okay, give me angry. Okay. Give me sad. And I've never had somebody give me the hand before, but he went like this.
Okay.
Like, I'm still on angry.
Oh,
because I gave him like, and then he said this, sir, call me sir, you can't just throw out emotions like that to an actor. It takes me time to get into every single thing that you're asking. Request, I will get there, you'll know, and then you take the photo. And I was like,
mic drop, yo.
I was like,
yo, all right, cool, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I respect
and
that.
And I'm seeing this, what's happening here with me and Michael Sheen. Mm. And then, like the actors do, they go like this.
Mm.
And he went like this.
Like Joker face going in.
And he was crying angry.
Shit.
And then I said, oh shit, he's actually that pissed at me that he had to take a moment. And now when he looked back at me, he was like,
wow,
teeming. And then he said, take photos.
Oh,
and I was like, and I started and then after
right
he was like, after literally, he's like, okay, let's give me another one.
Yes.
And
damn.
I'm like, dude, oh wow. He's like, oh, that's acting. What? Dude, what? He's like, that's acting.
That's how it's done.
My
that is
God.
How it's done,
I watched
baby.
This guy literally. He wasn't acting.
Yeah.
That was real. Like he turned away.
Yeah.
He turned himself into a completely different person.
That's gotta be mind-blowing.
Probably hung on to a feeling.
He looked
memory.
At me and he looked through me in a way that I forgot I was taking photos.
Right. Wow.
Like I was just taking this guy in and he's like, take
the photo. Yeah, you were just so shocked by what he did.
I couldn't
even push the finger
to I couldn't process because I'm used. I had shot so many actors. I'd never shot an actor that just like he became the thing.
Wow.
And I was like, and it would happen right in front of me. And he would do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he'd just go call Rachel and be like, yeah, we're on set with this blah, blah, blah. And, just be like a regular guy and then come back. And I like the level of professionalism with Michael Sheen, like, and then the picture became the Hamlet poster that everybody saw.
Damn.
It's like, it's crazy. And they didn't use the like crying because it was actually too intense.
Too much. I was going to say, yeah.
Too much. Yeah. Like, we waited for him to, like, come back a little bit, you know?
That's
like,
crazy. Insane.
You want it angry, right? You want it angry?
Yeah. Wow. So, that's yeah, insane. Don't throw out emotions. Don't just throw out emotions like that, bro. I'm still on that first one.
Right, like one of those kind of fashion shoots where the guy's like, all right, give me angry, yeah. okay? Give me angry.
Like Zoolander, okay? You know?
But they go so much faster when you're doing those shoots, right? But when you're with an actor... Right, he's 100,000% right. You need that time to get into that if that's the emotion you really want, you know?
So photographing musicians, shooting rappers, now like shooting actors and shooting Sandra Oh sort of spun off shooting Michael Sheen and Colin Firth and some of these other like just really like world-class actors.
Yeah.
And it's just cool because I'm a mirror, you know? I'm only here really to facilitate capturing the energy that's happening that day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I photograph reality, but it's stylized reality. Like I do it in such a way that I make pictures that you think that you could make.
That's amazing, man. These are crazy stories. There's one crazy...
I like
crazy...
how you slid that in there, though, man. It was like, you think you can... Look at that. Yeah, I could shoot that. Yeah, okay. Sure you can, bro. Sure you can.
There's a crazy story that I want to dive into of an artist that you guys have worked and shared different stages with, right? And, you know, it seems like you've had some amazing positive experience on set, but I'm sure... There are some negative experience or
sure.
And there's a sure. little story that we heard about you walking away from a shoot from none other than who was it?
I walked away from Kanye West.
Just okay. say it, man. Just say it.
Okay.
Just say it.
Okay.
I walked away from Kanye West. Wow. End of story.
What year was this?
2004.
Wow.
College dropout. Toronto for the first time. And it was like the lounge crew. We had media, we had magazine, we had clothing store, we had photography and like much music with Director X and like music videos. Like it was like the lounge collective and everybody was in it. And it, I mean, I'm sure you remember.
I do.
So
lounge,
we had a store and I was in the office. Because my desk was there. And I get a call, like, on my two-way, on my Motorola two-way pager. Hey. And I flip it, and it says, Kanye West!
Wow.
And I'm like, is a Chicago-born rapper? Like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Kanye West, he's in the store. Like, of course, the message, you could only send one line of email at a time. Yeah. So the second line came through and it's like, is in the store.
Do you want to explain lounge a little bit?
Lounge is, it was basically a retail store where we sold urban clothing. Damon and Desmond owned Lounge. I was a photographer. I shot Lounge for advertising. We had an office together. We started Lounge Communications, which was like a creative agency. And we also were part of Peace Magazine and Pound Mag. It was just like this media collective. So Kanye heard that you have to go to Lounge if you're in Toronto. That's the spot. So Kanye's everybody, DMX was there, like everybody was always Capadonna, like Wu-Tang Clan. It was just Lounge. Everyone's just there. So Kanye's at Lounge. And my reply was, so? Like,
so what?
Kanye's at Lounge. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, you have to come shoot this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna be the next. And my reply was, does he know I'm coming?
Right.
The answer was no. Is he expecting a photo shoot? The answer, no.
Not so much.
But, and I said, so then we don't play. Like, I don't shoot. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to come crash a guy with my camera and be like, yo. It's Cardi, please. If there's any art, like, I'm begging you to do that right now. Go crash this guy and shoot this photo. And no. So I do it. Because it's just all for one and one for all.
Let's do this. Yeah.
So I get my camera and he's in the store. He's shopping. He's looking at stuff.
Right.
So I just wanted to see what the light was like in the store to see if I could shoot a photo.
Right.
So I looked through my camera and I trained it in his direction to just see the exposure. I mean, I don't even shoot those photos. I wouldn't use it. I just wanted, and his security guard, like literally like boxed me.
Wow.
And I'm like, I was just asked to come down here and do this. You know what I mean? And then it's like, now other people are now speaking for me. And it's like, yo. Okay, if there's a guy in this country that you should allow to train your camera on him, this is the guy. So it's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not ready. And I'm just watching just this energy that's happening in the store between Kanye, management, the lounge people, blah, blah. And everyone's trying to just get Kanye to agree to sit for a photo with me. And I'm just like, just waiting there. And
you're like, I knew this was going to happen.
Push was the part where I just... It's already over when somebody pushes me. Like, it's done already.
Yeah. So, energy different.
Anyways, so Kanye came out and he just like kind of was like, all right. And was like, he just kind of mean mugged me.
You just did like a spoiled and, like, rat baby face.
And I was like, bro. And I said, dude, I don't need to take your photo, eh? I don't need to take this photo. And then I shot 3 frames, picture. And I'm like, all right, bro, we're cool. Thank you. And I just dapped him and I walked away while he was standing there on the corner waiting for more shots. Like, I just energetically was just not. So, of course, that photo, it's just on the memory card in the thing, just in the art. It's like, I don't like.
Done.
Why did you make me do that? Why'd you make me do that? Oh. And then Kanye's rise.
Yeah.
Every album and every and all the and it's just and I'm just festering. I tell people I shot Kanye. They're like, "Dude, you didn't shoot Kanye as a picture," and I'm like, "Maybe it'll be in my first book." You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's when I first dropped it. And then the reason why now this whole thing is going viral is because, you know, you have to get engagement when it comes to broadcasting. And sometimes when I open my podcast, I open with like insane lines, like
like what
Pharrell Williams did, a no hander no footer on a bicycle, and I shot one frame, and then I'll show it. This is the picture, and that Sick. Day was like I walked away from Kanye West. I shot 3 pictures, 1, 2, 3, and I left. And then that, so I just cut that and then made a reel, right. And then I go on to talk about that particular episode was about abstract marketing for photographers and how photographers can use nonlinear ways of like hyping our work and our vibe and our energy and our attitude and how I could do that with just basically like one sentence. And I just proved it to you at the beginning of this episode. So for people who come back and watch the short and watch the whole episode, they learn, like, I just marketed to you, bro.
Yes.
By telling you a story that happened 20 years ago.
That's you it. Know what I mean? It's a wrap.
It's why you're here.
My favorite part of that is that photo was in 2004.
Yes. Yes.
Is that the same year you opened for him?
That is the year. Yes.
Yeah, well, it's the same night.
It's the same night. It's the same night. I have my own Kanye story.
It's the same night.
He was the same guy then that he was to me. Yeah. So, like, yeah. Oh, but my favorite part is that you held on to that. And like you said, watched the rise of Kanye for years and kept that in your memory card, knowing that this photo would be something special, that people would want this photo, like it would be, and you held on to that, man.
At some point, but for me, it's just, this is a picture that stands out as an anomaly in my body of work. It stands out as an anomaly because it was such, there was such conflict and aggression attached to this photo.
Right.
It was such conflict because, like, I was pushed before I made this photo.
Right.
It was such conflict because, like, that the energy and the ego and the, like, I'm Kanye West! Like, just like, that vibe.
If you haven't
like,
seen that photo, like that could have been on the cover for Genius.
100%.
Like, that could have been the...
100%.
Yeah, that could have been the cover for that.
It's a crazy
Because that was exactly that time,
So it's just the energy attached. And if you know my work and you know, like, my book is called Positives.
I was not a positive.
For real.
So you understand, like, there's the anomaly is the fact that, like, I don't shine light on anything negative. That's part of my ism. If I don't shine light on anything negative,
if I don't
feel something, if I don't feeling a vibe, it's like I
shot that. That's why you're
here.
That's why you're here, man. Dreams don't have deadlines, man.
Appreciate
it's the positivity,
you.
Bro.
Thank you, bro.
Of course, it's love.
Amazing.
Yeah, man.
I'm sweating like I'm on trial.
It's all good. It's all good. Take a sweat break.
Look at me.
It's because Kanye.
Is it that hot?
No, Kanye gets you that heated.
Because I'm on camera.
Kanye gets it that heated.
For sure.
It's your spot.
I mean, that's why he's so skinny. He's
it's your spot. There. I can't get over the 30-foot ceilings in here, man.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's great. Shit, it's crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
Let's dive into your mind. Okay.
The mind of a photographer.
The mind of a photographer and the way that you produce your art.
Sure.
You have the first time I worked with you on set with Juice, you had a very, very interesting quote about capturing superstars and real people. What's that quote again?
Mm-hmm. I treat regular people like superstars, and I treat superstars like regular people.
That's so dope. Why is that?
Well, because if you imagine, if we just use the example of Juice,
right.
Juice is a superstar, but on a global Kanye West, Pharrell Williams level, people don't know Juice like that. Mm-hmm. But if he had the same photography, the same marketing, the same engine, and also he's putting forth a positive message. So in that case, treat regular people like a superstar, because they need superstar acceleration. Regular people need a fucking rocket ship to get them to the top, where celebrities, mm-hmm. superstars, mm-hmm. they need parachutes. Mm-hmm. They need things to slow their wake, mm-hmm. to make them smaller, to make them human. So I humanize celebrities, and I strip away all the bullshit. I strip away everything and just get to the essence of that person and treat a celebrity like a regular person. Right. That's the whole magic of my photos. That's why I have a 30-something year career is literally accelerating regular people, mm-hmm. and like humanizing people who you see as some lofty celebrity. Everybody's regular. We're all superstars. We're all amazing. All of us, the people who already have lots of light and attention on them, they need less. So my work will stand out if I don't also shoot them the way that everybody else has. Oh. My work will look so radical because I humanize celebrities.
That's amazing. That's
holy shit. People are going to stop dead when they look at my photograph of Colin Firth, mm-hmm. because it's real.
It's beautiful.
I can see why superstars want to work with you, because you are humanizing.
I don't know if the superstars, it's their people who find me, usually. It's just their people who
just
find me.
Just ask Kanye West.
You know? Yeah. and shooting things like The Porter, and shooting like local grown talent, Charles Officer.
Yes.
As a director. I mean, we went to high school together. People don't know Charles and I are the same age. We went to high school together. In fact, he's a year younger than me.
Wow.
And he was one of the best hockey players in the country. He was en route to be in the NHL.
Crazy.
Wow. Charles Officer.
Wow.
And he's the biggest director like you know right now. Me also. Also, incredibly good hockey player. On road to be maybe junior A, blah, blah, blah. But like, I got Crohn's disease, and getting sick like ended my hockey career. Yeah. And although I was always like a fun, cool photographer, like it made me take it seriously. Mm. So then it was like, okay, I can't use my body for my money. I can't be an athlete. Now I have to use my creativity. Mm-hmm. So it that's shifted me.
That's amazing, man. I mean, it really speaks volumes on the character of the photos that you're taking and the life behind them. Like when I look at your photos, I feel like there's a story behind it. It makes my mind curious.
I'm
into that
so,
photo.
I don't want it, mathematical isn't the right word, but I have rules. Like, okay. And if you watch any of my broadcasts, I have rules. Here's a rule. I always shoot straight on.
Okay.
Meaning I don't like shoot people over the show. I shoot straight on. So right. People present themselves to you. Mm. I'm very focused on hands.
Okay.
Hands is like a big thing. Also, I glorify people who look like me, but I also glorify the underdog. you know, but it's hard to describe because I'm able to kind of see myself in everybody. I try to, like, if I'm shooting Michael Sheen, like I'm a mirror for him, you know? So I guess that's a way. And when I photograph people who look like me, there's a kinship and a sort of wanting to help in almost like an extra way, because people who are visible minorities, we're actually the majority, truly, but people who are visible minorities, just in life, we've always needed, like, you know, we're I don't know, there's racism, there's discrimination, there's all that kind of shit,
for
so,
sure,
because I just want to give the best leg forward with every project that I do. I'm not biased. I see everybody as beautiful. The hard thing is people who don't take the time to get to know me, they don't know that I'm just deep. You know what I mean? And when I had dreads, they didn't know that I was this deep. They just saw and hair. I cut my dreads. My dreads were like past my
long,
waist.
Yeah.
And when I cut my hair, that's like when all of a sudden people knew me as a photographer. And I was like, I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
What are you saying? You know what are you talking about?
I'm not even lying.
What?
I'm talking about going again. This isn't now.
Right.
Juice. This isn't now. I started dreadlocks in 1990. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like 30 plus years ago. And then them times.
Yeah.
Through the 90s, it was like you were a Rastafari.
Yeah.
And it's like that even Bob Marley dealt with racism and, like, you know what I mean? It's true. Like, yeah, Peter Tosh and all the...
Yeah, yeah.
So when I cut my hair, all of a sudden, like, the rise of hip-hop was happening right at that time, because I cut my hair in 2001 on the first day of the first month of the first year, January 1st, 2001.
Wow,
I cut my hair.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally the next month I'm dating a Ford supermodel, like literally like a supermodel.
Wow.
Like, and it's just like same guy, same work, same everything, no dreadlocks, and suddenly the attention that I got was was so overwhelming, I became very, very angry.
I want to take the time to big up all the Rasta man out there that are still holding on to their locks, even though they can't date no models. It's a new time now. You know,
dreams
what I'm
don't have
you
deadlines,
know,
right?
Dreams don't have deadlines, man.
But for real, it's like I got so angry, and I literally had an emotional moment there, because I cut my hair, and now I get attention.
Mm.
I grew my hair back immediately.
Oh.
I didn't cut my, like, from that point, I didn't cut my hair again now till, like, so...
Such a Cardi
thing
to do.
Like, my hair looked like you. I didn't cut it bald like how I am now.
Right.
I cut it like yours. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, I just dreaded it out again.
Yeah.
So, because I was now really rebelling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
When my dad turned 40, I remember when I was a kid, my dad turned 40, and he with a full head of hair, balded it off, like full in the set, like in the 80s. I couldn't, like, what are you doing your hair? And in
people
the 80s,
die for,
like,
that
everyone
hair.
Died for that. My dad just, and he's like, you know, I just don't want to think about it. I just don't want to think about it. I want to think about it. And I want you to look at me. I don't want you to look like, you know, and I couldn't wrap my head around this. So I turned 40 and I'm telling my barber, like, yo, lower. I think I want it lower. And then he's like, dude, the next is like just a number one. I'm like, try it. And it just worked. And I'm like, from that point, and that's like 2011.
Right.
So since then, I've been
bald.
Like, I grow my beard, but I just
can't even picture you with hair right now.
I know. It's because I'm a monk now. Now I'm invisible. That's the whole point about my photography and my career, is I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the pictures. I want it to be about the people who are in there and glorifying those stories. Like, I'm a facilitator for the photography, and I'm an essential part of it. But I'm about to do a new book. I haven't done a book in almost 12 years. That book was going to come out before COVID, but COVID really kind of
changed
things.
Changed everything. But the thing that's great is I just have such new material for an incredible new retrospective that I can basically pick up where Positive left off, which is 2009, and share the work that I've done from 2009 all the way up to basically right now and what I'm doing now, which is amazing. And I'm just looking forward to...
What's it called?
I have a couple titles.
Okay.
One book is, because I shoot on black backgrounds and have been since I was 19, one of my books is called Cardi on Black. Mm. And it's a retrospective of all the shots, like Cardinal on the cover and the girl on the back cover.
Yeah.
It's basically all the shots that I've done to a black background, edited down to like my favorite 100, 150 since I was 19. So that's an idea. And then the other ones, it's like, you know, right now the working title is Positives 2. you know what I mean? But that's the working title, Positives 2.
I love that.
But it's, so this book was so limited. So many people were not able to see this book. So it's also a dream of mine to be able to reissue the original Positives. But that's something that when this next book comes, which will blow up, that will be how I use that momentum to push out the prequel, which, I mean, there's a few hundred people in Toronto who are lucky enough to have this book.
Very versatile, man. So talking about COVID, it changed the whole world, obviously. It changed people's profession. It turned them upside down. And your profession, you have people.
Yes.
In front of you.
Yes.
So it must have changed your world completely. I wanted to ask how did that affect you?
And if it was horrible. I mean, for me, I'm such a people person. I'm such an affectionate person, and hugs and love and, you know, all that vibe. It's weird. And when it came to the point where it was like a full lockdown, like we're all at home, that's basically when I started to figure out what it was that I was going to do. I started watching streams, which is really weird. I started watching my friends who were DJs streaming, because DJs couldn't play. DJs couldn't spin in events and anything like that. So I'd watch like Jester do a set on Twitch, or then I'd watch like DJ X do a set on Twitch. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But it didn't click. But then I started really thinking like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do a YouTube channel. That's when I'm gonna do a YouTube channel. But when I started to look at the space, what I noticed is people would just make videos, and it was a one way conversation. There was no conversation. It was just one way. And then if you're lucky, the photographer reads your comments, makes how do you do this? Like, what, you can't ask a question like that. So that's it. There's the hole. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do behind the picture and help photographers, because I was doing workshops and helping photographers in person. Maybe I can convert this into online. I'm a natural teacher. I had been teaching at all the photography schools already. Like, I do like, you know, a workshop on lighting and, you know, I show a retrospective. I've been doing that since I was 25. So I've always been teaching and giving back. But
Probably always people who are asking questions, like, you know, wanting to learn from you.
Of course. Yeah. And in 2006, I started actually officially doing like intro to digital photography, intro to lighting, and like doing actual like transitioning to pro, like doing actual workshops. And that like went really well. And I kind of just stopped. I just stopped that because I felt like I had taught everybody. So the YouTube channel taught everybody in Toronto. So the YouTube channel came from me wanting to broadcast and do something live where I'm able to actually answer questions.
Yeah.
And it just took off right away. Now, at that time, YouTube wasn't the right place for live. YouTube Live
Twitch was the spot.
Yeah, yeah. So I did it on Twitch. I felt like that was a better place to do it. I monetized like in 7 days, and like all it was, you know, I was making money. It was great. I monetized super quickly.
Wow.
It was like crazy.
Holy
like in
crap.
Like in like five, like 7 days of streaming.
Yeah.
50 followers,
damn,
3 average viewers, ding,
yeah,
did that in a week. So now people can like tip and subscribe. I had subscribers and it was good. And it's just, the thing is about, I kind of lost the way, like my show became a live show, and it wasn't a podcast. It wasn't anything that you could watch after the fact.
Right.
You could, but there was no discoverability. It's not YouTube.
Yes.
So, basically just through doing it for a year, I started to, it was blowing up, and really it was a successful idea.
I loved it.
Mentoring live, like live mentoring photographers, yeah, and yeah, yeah. Reviewing their photos live. It was just working. But what was happened is after my show's over, it's just gone into the ether. Like people weren't finding it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to move everything over to YouTube. I did that in the fall, and that was in November. And since then, my channel is like doubled. It's insane how
damn.
How much. And I still do live. I basically do my podcast, Ask a Photo Pro, and Behind the Picture. It's Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. I do them live. And then after the fact, they're there that people can watch, but the way that I do my shows, they don't feel like they're live. Mm. They're actually, but if someone someone asks a question, I can like reply back to that question. I can have time for question answer. And I also have time during every episode to review people's photos.
Okay.
So they submit photos and I like live review them, and I give them just, I mean, In the world of YouTube, you're watching people do what they do, but no one's helping with what you're doing. So I've flipped it and I allow people to submit. I have a whole submission process.
Yeah.
People can submit through my Discord. And then Tuesday, Thursday, I look at photography and I'm mentoring, and that's now spun a mentorship program.
I love that.
Where I have like 10 photographers that pay me monthly to help them one-on-one offlines, because they don't want their pictures to be seen on YouTube, you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, it's great, and it's rewarding, because like the testimonials that I get back, like before I thought I knew about photography, before I was a lost ocean scattered, now I am a focused laser, knowing my niche with a portfolio, with a website, with
that's
clients,
that's
like
fire.
That sort of
that
like
feels rewarding,
I'm turning
probably.
People from like, I like photos to like, I just made $1,000 with my camera.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's kind of the vibe. And hearing that back, it's like, dude, good for you.
Cool. So,
nice.
So that kind of turned into like a positive.
Of course, you know, everything like, we turn into a positive. We have
you
to.
Do. We have to, man.
Have
because
to.
There's a lot of bankers out there who said, you
have
know what?
To.
Let me pick up a camera and start doing photography. Now I'm sitting at home.
Have to. And again, a lot. And that's just it. A lot of people picked up photography through COVID. And they're like, they have money, they have gear, and they don't have an idea. And it's like, I'm able to be like, hey, you really have talent for this. You actually do. And let me show you how much talent you have. And I give challenges and I give little assignments like, hey, go do this. Show me, come back next episode. Show me what you did. You know, so I build these relationships individually, and I have it going on with like 200 people. And I'm talking 200 different photographers. I know where they are. I know their real names. I know what their website is. I know what their style is, what their specialty is, and how long they've been shooting,
so
and what
dope.
They're trying to do next. Because
so
I'm coaching them. And then this woman who's in Missouri, who shoots bugs in her backyard, went from shooting bugs in her backyard to now she's like one of the most incredible macro photographers.
Damn.
She's got a full portfolio. She has prints on Etsy, and it's all this. She's like, Cardi, I couldn't have done this without you.
And
like
that feeling,
before,
like you were
yes,
saying.
Dude,
yeah.
Man, and I mean,
rewarding.
Before she's just like, and again, just people who find my YouTube channel and I just like turn them into like little creative machines.
I'm
going to
interject
bro.
Here because like you said, it's super dope, man, because so, like, and I really love that, man, because yes, you know, photography and well, COVID kind of killed the arts for a bit there,
sure.
You know, like artists couldn't tour. You know, it felt like you really had to switch up whatever you're doing. DJs couldn't DJ, photographers couldn't do photography. But, like, for you to do that, and yes, you needed a way and an outlet.
Sure.
But at the same time, you were in service of helping people.
That's
right?
The whole point.
And I tell
of
everybody, like, yo,
thing.
When you don't know what to do for yourself, just do for others, bro.
Listen,
and things will come to you.
The way
and
that I describe it is, what I do for a living, I'm a service for people. I'm of service to people.
Yes.
And as long as I just think in anything that I do, I'm of service to people. Today, you guys asked me to be a guest. It's like, so my role as a guest is to be of service to you and to give great I mean, unfortunately, this is just too fun, so it's not really work like that. It's like I'm having too much of a
no,
good
it's
time.
Not.
It's like vibes.
Same.
But at the same point, we know that like, That's what our role is. If you're a musician, you inspire. Like, you have no idea. People are playing your song over and over and over and over and over again, and they know. What does it feel like that people know your words, bro? Yo. Like, people are singing back your words. Like, that kind of feeling, that's, like, the only thing that I can reminisce it or compare it to is people knowing me because of a photograph, because of something that I do.
It's very similar.
With the camera.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's actually crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm in the rainforest in Costa Rica. I'm in Nosara, and I'm in a juice shop, and I'm having a juice, and I hear this, Cardi?
Costa Rica.
And it's like, Trevor used to work in Much Music,
yeah.
And he's like, dude, you might not know me, but like, I know you, I know right. your work, blah, yeah. blah, blah. Like, you remember me? I worked at Much, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, what?
That's what life's like, about, man.
Like,
honestly.
That's the stuff that's just, I mean, I love it, man.
Me
that's
too.
Crazy.
I want to dive into real quick. You know, there's so many positives about your life, so many highlights. So many great experiences.
You can't promote that book, 'cause they
can't buy it.
but look at it though.
But yes, there's so many great experiences, but there's also downtimes.
Sure.
There's also negative moments.
Sure.
There's also rock bottom moments.
Oh my God.
I know you've got.
You're trying to make me cry
now. Yeah, I know there's several, but I want to go back.
I have deadlines.
You know, back when 9/11 happened.
Oh,
you were
shit.
Talking, and that was a big moment for
yeah,
you, right?
Yeah, it's weird how we get tested. You know, because we do get tested, because literally at any point, all of us can just stop what we're trying to do and just take that easy route. Like, we all have the option. You can just mail it in. You know what I mean? But I feel like I have to live up to an expectation of a life that I feel like I'm supposed to live, you know? So there's times that things happen that slow you in your tracks. 9/11 was, 20 years ago, you know, so long ago, but it changed me and shaped me into what I describe as steel.
Okay. What happened in 9/11 that affected you?
Basically, I was supposed to be in New York.
Okay.
I just signed with Steel Pedal. I just signed with, it was like my first New York agent. I just signed with Getty Images. and I was flying back and forth to New York, or driving back and forth to New York every 7 days.
Wow.
With Donovan White, stylist.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys know Donovan.
Yep.
I was like,
yep.
Donovan and I were driving to New York all the time. And he was trying to get an agent there. I had just got an agent there. My agency opened September the 1st. And we were supposed to have a big agency party. So I was supposed to be in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But she delayed and decided she was going to do it later in the month. But I had told everybody that I was in New York. I was going to be in New York.
Right.
And it's like, so 9/11 just happens. And I'm like sleeping in because I was like super exhausted.
Right.
And like my phone just like starts ringing and and like won't stop. And then like, are you, I'd answer the phone. It's like, are you okay? Like these are like panic.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay? Am I like, and
everybody
figures like,
you're in
oh
New
my
York.
God. So no, I'm cool. I'm in Toronto. I'm chilling. I didn't go like, blah, 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 everything's. And then I watched, CNN and watched people jump off buildings and saw like all this stuff. And like this, like in real time.
Yeah.
And for me, like I'd never seen anything like that. And like, I got PTSD and I sort of like, I watched CNN straight. I didn't leave my couch for 3 weeks. Like I was studying like every, like I was just, so it really, it spun me and I had like, it spun me into like a trauma where I, and also I had in September $40,000 with a jobs booked. $40,000.
Wow.
Back then in the film days, bro,
yeah,
like
man.
Jobs are $10,000.
Yeah.
You remember like shooting car, it's $10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 grand
and
is a lot of money
so that's,
today.
That's
I
like,
can't even imagine 20 years
like,
ago, you
but
know?
No, like this like the Jiggy era too, man.
Yeah,
like,
bro,
you know what I'm saying? Man's
like,
are getting money to shoot.
Bro, like
you know?
Casey and JoJo,
yeah.
60 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi album, 10 grand.
Let's
like
go.
It was like the
Hype
Canadian
Williams
albums,
videos, like
Canadian
times.
Albums were 10 grand. For me to shoot a CD, it was $10,000. Like
wow.
Everyone just knew.
Wow.
Like Cardinal paid me $10,000. So then the Rascals with their label came to me and they had 9K and Red One like left the meeting and he's like, you won't, we're not worth an extra $1,000. Like his bill is 10K. You're saying we'll give you 9. You disrespect us that much. Like Red One.
We know Red is not taking that,
dude. And it's like, the manager's like, okay, okay, we have 10.
Good.
It's like, why didn't you just have that in the beginning, man? Like he was so, so this is like, in that time, people were fighting for me to shoot their shit. Yeah. Like that's, so imagine that month, I have like 4 crazy $10,000 shoots booked and they just, one at a time, just cancel, cancel. And it was just like...
And you had a lot of New York people flying to Toronto regularly, right?
And also, I have accounts. I have an account at that lab that I owe 2K to because, like, I just go get my film for the month and then just get paid and just pay that bill.
Yeah.
I have an account over there of, like, all the gear that, like, certain studio rentals and this and that. Like, I just had floating expenses because... And all of this... Because you're a working photographer. The money that you make this month pays for the shit that you're doing next month.
Hell
and then
yeah.
that month paid back. But like, it's kind of how we were doing. And it's like, all of a sudden, all that shit just dead.
Yeah.
And I'm now carrying this debt from these past jobs that were paid for by jobs before. And but like, it was just the whole house of cards.
So financially.
The house of cards just fell down.
And then how long did it take?
6 months.
6 months.
Ooh,
so you got another job.
Six months to feel... like I was coming back for
okay, wow.
6 months.
And flights were hard back then, right? 9/11 happened.
I lost my flat. I lost my apartment. Like,
oh,
it was just like, I, like, literally, I, it was the most insane, like, I, it was like a 12-year photography career as starting all over again.
Wow.
But it's so funny because I had all the, I had the work and I had the art, but there was just no work, like nobody was working,
so financially
and shooting people
zero.
And then SARS happens and it's like, okay, people are now traveling after 9/11 SARS,
yeah,
like so now people are like next.
Yeah,
so that was like another so
yeah.
all these seasons and we're a 6 month on 6 month winter, so like this that summer season is when you just crush and it's like,
so what happened to make you bounce back?
CBC.
CBC.
Did you want to give up?
Yes, bro. I, no, bro. Yes, bro. No. Bro. Yes, bro.
Yeah.
No, bro.
So it was about, it was,
never.
Yeah.
No, but it's just,
I love
it's
that
just the thing is, it's just about, you just, you think like, oh, well, I thought that was really bad, but this is like, whoo. And then you're, and you're like, whoo, I thought that was bad, but this is like, and it's like, you just realize like, you just become more and more resilient.
Yeah.
You can just take and last longer and longer and longer in the, we just all did 3 years in this, like, that's resilience
over
so,
and over again. And you were resilient. You already had experience. I think it was, you told me 10 years before that, a very, very serious
because
incident.
I have Crohn's disease. Yeah. I have Crohn's disease.
So you had surgery,
I flatlined,
right?
And I had surgery and and it's like, so yes,
flatlined.
Yeah. Like I died on the operating table. They gave me my last rites and I came back.
What?
I'm sorry. I have
can't
to laugh
kill Cardi.
Because
kill
it's a natural reaction. It stops you from crying.
No, it's crazy.
So,
man.
So how old were you when
yeah.
you had the surgery?
24.
And this was after you started your photography career?
Second year in business. Yeah.
You had to have a serious surgery.
Yes. And they took out 18 inches of intestine. And then when they reconnected, it was completely twist and shut down. So I...
And, they cut you up.
And then
there was a complication.
Surgery. And I had a second surgery. And then on the second surgery, I died.
And the second surgery, you flatlined.
Yeah.
For how many minutes?
I don't know.
You don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I woke up. I literally was in a coma for 4 days. So for me, I woke up 4 days later in intensive care in a whole other scenario.
Unit.
With like, and my heart rate was at, I know this is totally off topic, but my heart rate was 160 beats per minute, 160, which is like zone 5.
Yeah.
For four days while I was sleeping. So,
what?
So they were just waiting for me to have a
heart attack. And Cardi, I remember you mentioned that this is not the last life, right? This is not
like that. This for me, I actually completely, I mean, however new age or flaky or whatever this seems, for me it doesn't matter, and I'm so confident in my own self as a person that I don't really worry about what people will judge me from hearing me say this. But you don't die. Like, you don't die.
Mm.
It's just literally a dimension change.
Mm.
And I was given the choice, come back or
go
do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, It gets really weird because I was given, like, I knew a year before my sister had a child without a husband and the child's name. Like, I knew that a year before it happened because I saw it while I was floating
out there.
So I came back because to help my sister. Like, it's so weird. And then that child became, like, my niece Keisha, who's 25, 26 right now. She's got her own kids and blah, blah, like, I came back to make sure that that whole thing could happen.
And I assume your perspective on life changed after
Yeah,
that.
I'm weird. Look at me, dude. I'm a weird dude. Like, I'm okay with it. I know. Like, I'm not like everybody else. Yeah. And it's okay. I embrace my oddities. That's my idiosyncrasies, my peculiarities, and it makes me creative. It makes me who I am. So there was a time that I used to fight how weird I am, how strange I am, how odd I am. And now, like, I actually I embrace it with both feet, and I'm able to just live with such joy. I'm having the best time right now. Honestly.
Man, that's incredible. Thank you, man. Yeah, thanks for sharing that story, by the way.
I'm sorry I'm so
thanks.
Hot.
Thanks. No, it's all good.
Camera on
me. No, man, but I appreciate the honesty, the vulnerability, and it makes sense to me now, almost 40 years into this career of yours. That
almost,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm 50. I started when I was 14. I'm 53 this year, so it's been almost 40 years that
that's
I've
been amazing.
Photos.
But all the way to this time, it makes sense why COVID wasn't such a serious thing, because you've literally seen the light.
Yeah,
and you're like, I can handle
this. It
still
was a serious thing because of, like, we live, there's 8 billion people here, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just, you can't be only responsible for your own energy. Like you see, there's other energies that affect us, like, so greatly. So that's where it gets scary. When you have an energy of fear that's just everywhere, and fear creates certain things within the body.
Yeah, let's
and
talk about
me,
that.
That's what, that's where, like, that's for me, that's when things are born. Like, diamonds are born in times of, like, great distress and great fear. Well, and like, facts. I try to, like, it's like those high pressure, those like the metaphor is like, how does a bird learn how to fly? A bird is born. It cracks out of an egg, which seems to be its own world, and somehow it figures that it's inside a membrane and cracks out of there. Then, after having food jammed down its gullet by this huge pterodactyl for however long,
Jurassic Park.
One day that pterodactyl just goes like this, boom, and that it's like, the bird learns how to fly as it is falling to their death.
Yeah.
Like, that's how every bird that you've seen flying around, they all learn how to fly the same way.
That's
so
true.
If you think about that as our own life, and that metaphor, like, it's fly or die.
Yeah.
And the people who actually don't leave the nest, you've heard that whole term, like, failure to launch. That's another term
failure
that you hear.
Launch.
Failure to launch. Think of it.
Yeah.
We live in a fucking helmeted, knee pad, elbow pad society. Like, we protect our offspring from failure at such an insane rate that there's so many failures to launch that. So my whole vibe is, I like, at any point where I'm feeling too comfortable, it's time to, like, bob yourself out of the nest and get, like, into that free form feeling, because greatness lives there, you know?
I can see why you've inspired a generation of creatives, man, through your mentality, through your work, and I can see why people look up to you.
Oh, thank
and,
you, brother. I appreciate
you know, that's
that.
Why you fit the mantra of dreams don't have deadlines.
Well, and this is why when I heard the name of the single, Juice and I, we go back, like, 25 years almost. So, like I've seen him become a man. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, he was 18 when I photographed him. And seeing that, like, diamond, like, then, and seeing him now, come on.
Yeah,
dreams,
man,
don't have no deadlines, this brother. Is... It's all here.
It is.
It's all here.
That's a great way to wrap this up with our question, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll let you
well,
into
this
it.
Is always the question that we... First of all, thank you, bro.
Yeah. Oh, listen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sorry that because I am so hot and wiping my face often here will make it part of the narrative. You guys are bringing the heat. And I feel the energy. I feel the vibe.
Thank you, man.
I've wanted to do this. You asked me. You said, hey, can you do it Sunday? I'm like, hey, I'm a committed podcaster. I cannot do Sundays because I do my show. And
gotta
you guys
it.
Were great. And you came back and rejigged it and made it so I was able to come here and do this. So thank you.
No,
anytime,
man,
where I have a chance to just allow people to know a little bit more about me is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
For me, like, I'm a myth. People don't know me. They think that they do, but they just know little bits about me. And for me, like, I play all these different characters, and it's so necessary when I'm trying to get somebody into character. Like, I'll make you pissed at me in order to get a moment and then apologize after. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to, like, it's stylized reality. It's not reality that I do. I make photos, but everybody knows a photo's gonna happen. I'm not grabbing these pictures. They're created, and they're created in such a way to evoke a feeling, you know? So I think it's important for us to, like, feel more and evoke more feelings and just, like, not be so safe.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when I started to just,
I think you already started to
wild,
answer my question.
Bro.
I didn't even ask it yet. Yeah. You're already answering it. This is crazy.
I'm stop.
No, I mean,
you're on a roll.
I'm actually blushing
on a
right
roll.
Now. Yeah, because,
but what is the question?
Well,
because
the question,
he's already answering.
Yeah, it's just like, what advice would you give to people who are at that crossroads of life and want to give up on their dreams?
Yeah. And if you could look into your camera right here.
My camera right here. Listen, as I feel the heat and the sweat pouring down my face, I want you to think of this. The reason is because I'm in the hot seat, and I put myself in the hot seat continually. The reason that you might be feeling like, oh my God, can I do this? Am I fit? It's because you're not actually trying hard enough.
Oh.
Are you standing on that edge of the nest thinking like, oh, should I do it? Should I do it? Or are you literally swan diving, as I hit the microphone stand? Are you swan diving into the unknown, believing that the man upstairs or the woman upstairs has a plan for you? There's a reason that we're all here, and we've all been given that one special thing that we can do better than all other people. The only thing is that you have to do is find it, shine light on it, dust it off, shine it up a bit, and then present it to the world. That's the only thing that you have to do, is present your skills to the world. If you do that honestly, you do that truthfully, the universe will open up and everybody's got nothing but hugs for you. That's my advice for you.
Wow.
Is don't quit.
Wow.
Because your dreams don't have deadlines.
That's right.
That's amazing.
That's right, man.
That's amazing.
Oh, I'm saving that, man. I'm gonna put that on loop.
I just hit me. I'm like, am I on edge? Am I on the edge?
I know I am.
I don't know.
We're just talking about me.
We're just reevaluating it now.
Oh, jeez. My word. But yeah, man. The whole energy with doubt like negativity permeates every aspect of our being. Doubt, how you counter doubt is with belief. And if you believe long enough and you research, because you can't just hope and nothing happen. You got to actually do the work. So if you research and believe, that's going to turn into knowledge. And, you know, some people believe, some people know. I'm one of those people who know. And if you also want to be in the know and feel like you're in demand, you're making the music that you want to make. Mm-hmm. People are wanting to hear the words that you have to say, the photographs that you have to shoot,
yep.
the words that you have to write. If you're at that cusp, like, it's okay to take a leap of faith. Nice. Everybody who's ever had any success, Wayne Gretzky said, you miss all the shots you don't take. That's mm-hmm. as cliche as you can make it. But what we say here is dreams don't have deadlines. So
yes, absolutely.
You're not going to do it today. You're going to do it tomorrow. But you got to goddamn do it.
Gotta
so
do it.
That's amazing,
Let's
man.
Go.
Well, thank you so much, man. Steve, for coming through. This was an amazing episode. I wanted to just, last thing, where can people find you?
I am at stevecardi.com. On my website is the super, super easiest way, stevecardi.com. Easiest way to see everything, my YouTube channel, all my everything I have there. You can also go to at Steve Cardi on all social media. If you're on YouTube, at Steve Cardi. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, all social media platform. I also recently, and a great way for me to have accountability, which is something that forces me to shoot every day, just like you guys have a podcast, so you have a schedule, so you're required to stay on that schedule, and it keeps you on accountability, and you also have an audience that wants it, right? Mm-hmm. So what I did for photography is I started a blog, and it's a weekly blog that you can join. You can just go to my website, say join my mailing list, and every Saturday I send you crazy photography and inspirational words that motivates you on staying exactly what you guys are doing with your podcast. I'm doing it with the written word as well, like words and photography. I've been doing it for about 3 months, and it's now building out into like a nice a nice magazine. It looks like a magazine. It's beautiful, and I email it to you every week, so you can join my mailing list as well on my website. My YouTube channel, I do Ask a Photo Pro Tuesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. I do Behind the Picture Sunday at 2 p.m. So on my YouTube channel, again, Steve Cardi, I'm in the YouTube system of podcasts. So if you search Ask a Photo Pro, if you search Behind the Picture, you'll definitely find it as well. And I have a Discord channel. If you're a photographer, or you're trying to get your work to the next level, you can find the link to my Discord channel. All that stuff is on my website. That's how you submit and become a part of the largest growing photography community on the internet.
That's amazing, man. So you got no excuse but to find Steve Cardi. And thank you so much, man, for spending the time. This was an incredible episode. So check him out, stevecardi.com. Check out his book called Positives. My name is Marwan Menominee. I am your co-host, and I'm joined by...
Juice Rochester, Rochester Juice.
And we've got...
I'm Cardi. We'll see you on the next one.
Let's get it. DDHE Podcast. Let's get it.
That was good.